denken möglich.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a spectacular Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Andy's worst nightmare.
That'll be the lovely Lara then. Anyway, today on the show...
Invisible disabilities.
No, nothing to do with the hauntings. In fact, Rose will be filling us in on the topic.
And butterflies.
We'll be having a group discussion about the series.
All coming today.
Right here on Shout Out.
Boo!
Oh, shit, I sod. Hello everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, welcome to Halloween. So, well, it was yesterday.
Really, yeah, it's really gone by, isn't it?
You know, when you do a show that it's only on a Thursday, you have to celebrate on the closest one.
Exactly, yeah, so, you do.
Anyone go trick-or-treating?
I didn't, unfortunately. I hung up my broom and I left it for the younger kids, really. I didn't feel...
It is kids, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already eaten my fair share of chocolate. I'm sweet enough now, so I'll let the kids have it.
No.
Yeah, no, but I saw a fair few kids running around and they did look shockingly good.
Do you know, it's the first year ever. I don't think I've had anyone, I didn't have anyone knock on the door.
Because they know you're there, Andy.
Did you hop?
No.
You're the haunted house.
I'm the haunted house, am I?
Well, you live in the haunted house.
Did you have a pumpkin outside?
No.
Well, that's the reason. Apparently, you're supposed to put a pumpkin out if you want people to visit now. It's a kind of way of deciphering, so kids know which one houses are actually
haunted. That makes sense. That's a good way.
Rather than turning up and being told to...
Not on the radio.
I know.
I mean, I love it, and it's really nice when like the young kids dress up and they make a real effort.
Yeah,
the ones that I didn't like was a teenager who would just like normal dress, nothing, knock on the door, trick or treat, give me a sweet, and you're like,
I mean, I don't know. Well, no excuses for them. Mm. I always went full out. I mean, the costumes obviously got racier as I got older, but I love
it. I never stopped getting racier.
No, exactly. Can't stop that. I went as Lara Croft one year. Because I'm named after her. Well, that's what I like to believe anyway. I made my own like gun holds and everything like that. Yeah, I was a badass. What's your best costume?
Do you know, I don't think I've really done much. I know one of the favourite ones I've ever seen was a friend did the whole, he stuck a zip up the front of his face.
Yeah.
Kind of like an open one.
I do not
and
like
then
those.
Painted the bit in the middle like red. And it looked like someone had actually unzipped it.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
No, I've seen some great ones over Facebook and Instagram, to be fair. Like amazing makeup, and I couldn't even replicate it. So, yeah, to anyone that tried, well done. Because it takes a lot of effort.
Still.
I mean, you wouldn't wear that kind of thing to a club, so when I went out, I just did a scar across my neck as if I'd been hunted. And then
are you out in Halloween stuff this weekend?
Because
people are doing it this weekend, aren't
they? Yeah, I know, but I think I'm going to maybe do something for fireworks maybe instead. I haven't really decided on my weekend yet.
If anyone wants
to make plans with me, I'm here.
just use the radio for your own.
I mean, why not?
Arranging your social life.
definitely. I think fireworks are one of my favourite. I love pretty colours and the chemistry behind it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, a special what's on this week.
Yeah.
So, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Got Tara clicking there.
Yay.
Well, it just does this, it keeps going.
Oh, right, sorry. Okay,
it's not the usual jingle we use, but it's Halloween,
right,
so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so anyway, I've got it's trans month, really. So we're on the November, and we first off on the 22nd of November. 21st of November, we've got Trans Day of Remembrance. So that's going to be at the University of Bristol in the Anston Rooms. Yeah, from 6:30 to 9 PM.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, and it's usually fairly well attended, actually.
Yeah, no, it's very well attended. Yeah,
I've been there in a while. I think the last time I went there, singing it with her.
No, you can turn up on the day.
Okay.
And it's I went last year and I was quite surprised. I went there for Bristol Mind to kind of for anyone who's dealing with emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, so that kicks it off, so to speak. And then on Thursday, the 22nd November, we've got Deer to Club at Alfred Street.
The what club, sorry?
Deer to Club.
Deer tree.
Deer. Sorry, the Scottish accent's getting in the way, isn't it? Deer.
Deer. Sorry, I wasn't taking the big. I just genuinely didn't know what it
okay,
was.
Okay, Deer to Club. Oh, 1 Alfred Street, Bristol, BS1. It's 1 till 9 p.m. It's a pre-Pride social.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there's a Thorny in collaboration with at Brunswick's Club on the following from 8 till midnight. That's the Bristol Trans Friends and Allies. Join us together on Thursday night at the Trans Pride Southwest at the decadent Brunswick Club for an evening of political and playful performance. Local queer platform Thorny are thrilled to be able to kick off this year's Trans Pride Southwest celebration by bringing together some of the most prominent trans voices from around the UK. Presented by Thorny with support from the Trans Pride Southwest. Yeah? And that's got comedy, dancing, performance with Ellie Stamp, and a founder of Brazil Boys. Yeah, boys and local drag sensation Oliver Assets will be kicking off the show. Yeah? So that's on Thursday.
What was that track name?
Oliver Assets.
Oh. They do make me laugh.
I've seen Brazil Boys, they're really good. Yeah.
So, and then on Friday, we've got the usual suspects. There's an event at Pop Nation at the Bristol Beer Bar. There's Dear to Club at Alfred Street, a trans dance event, 9 pm till 3 in the morning, if you can stay up that long. And then there's, of course, this Queen Sheila with Glitzy Girls from 10 till 4 in the morning as well.
Dance the night away.
Well, dance the morning away. Four in the morning.
4 in the morning, yeah.
I can still catch the night bus home, actually.
I'm not sure I could do that these days. So I know you go all the way through the night, wouldn't you?
I mean,
you?
I can.
And then
I
come
can
in and do a radio show with me, I'm sure.
Pretty much. I can go till 6 a.m., probably 7 maybe. But that's a push. So
there was a time when I could do it, not these days.
There's a time I could do it every week, not every, like now it's like every month, maybe two.
Oh, you're getting old.
Yeah, I'm getting old in my old age. Can't imagine you.
And then we've got Saturday, just to quickly, we've got the Community Day at the station in Silver Street, where there's gender swapping clothes and all sorts of other people there just to go and talk to and communicate with. And then, once again, evening is filled up with the Bristol Beer Bar, To the Moon, and Old Market Assemblies. So there's a trans femme meetup, and there's a non-binary meetup, and there's an after party at the Old Market Assemblies. I really like the Old Market Assemblies.
Yeah, really good for roast dinner as well.
It's good food. Yeah. And they do a good vegan option as well. And good gins.
The food in there is gorgeous. Yeah. So, yeah. And they own the bakery next door as well.
Yeah.
And the bread out there, they do sourdough bread, which I love.
Well, I still remember it when it was the game. Oh, Wins.
Then it was R7. Yeah. No, then it was Flamingos, then it was R7. Yeah.
And then on Sunday, there's Bristol Beer Bar again with Diva Diva. To the Moon, it's got Lunar Liquid Sessions, and Old Market Assembly has got Scritch, an open mic cabaret Trans Pride Southwest special. From 7:30 to 9 p.m. And that is that then draws the curtain on it.
Marvellous. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tara.
No problem.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Heads Will Roll.
I actually like that version.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
Really
that's from Glee, actually.
Yeah, I know. I used to like watching Glee.
Yeah. Finished a while now. A while ago now, didn't it, Glee? Are you a Glee fan?
Little bit. Yeah, I watched the first few series.
Yeah, in the beginning it was good.
Kind of, like a lot of things, you can get so many series and then you kind of goes.
I feel like sometimes American TV series get overkill.
Like they should have finished two or three.
It was no point in carrying that on.
Well, they've got a thing, haven't they? If it can get up to about 100 series, it then can run and run and run. Is that what they reckon? It's really important.
So 100 episodes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so they can be then bought up by those channels that run them continuously on a loop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, money is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you got the old Castle and all those sort of things.
Oh, okay,
they're all designed to get to bulk size so they can sell as a
Okay, well, that explains a lot. Yeah, that was a good song.
Anyway, this week's feature is we're actually talking to our very own Rose. Apologies, I did what I could to clean it up. I won't lie, I think Steph actually had her microphone round the wrong way when she recorded this, because she sounds miles away and then Rose sounds really close to you. But this is Rose talking about invisible disabilities. So have a listen to this.
Well, if you've been wondering where Rose has been, those regular listeners to Shout Out, not only has she been busy, but also there's an issue. Rose.
Hello. That's me.
Quietly. a quiet issue.
Oh, hang on. Well, I have been busy, but the other issue that I don't think I've actually mentioned it on the radio before, but basically I have, well, this week, it seemed very appropriate because this week, believe it or not, and this is, we are at a different week to the week that this will actually be broadcast. This is the week ending the 18th of October, but it is Hidden Disabilities Week, or Invisible Disabilities Week. And there's a very interesting article written by Julia Buckley in the I paper. And she talks about, she has a disability, which is a physical one, but no one can see it. So she gets shouted at and told off by people all the time for using, like, for example, disabled parking bays, requiring assistance on trains, and people saying, "Ah, oh, you're just taking the mickey, there's nothing wrong with you." But she has a particular disease, for example, that she can actually dislocate her joints if she picks something heavy up.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, and
how unusual is that?
Well, I imagine it's fairly unusual, but it's still, I tell you
a biggie would be arthritis.
Yeah, arthritis
because
is something
to most people. Yeah, it's really disability.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody asks for, you know, assistance, or it's quite interesting though. This article is very interesting. I read it. I will come back to my thing in a minute, but this lady Julia Buckley talks about the CAA, that's the Civil Aviation Authority, are rewriting their policy on hidden passengers with, because obviously it's air travel, passengers with hidden disabilities. And she writes something very funny about this, and she says, the only thing that you need, there's one thing that you need to do, really, and that is to believe them.
Okay. Yeah,
and yeah. And that kind of really struck me, because people that don't know me well will not know that about 2 years ago now, I sustained quite a bad vocal injury at work, in my work life.
Can you tell us a bit more about
that? Yeah, so basically what happened, how that actually happened was I was working in a theatre box office, so talking a lot, on the phones, and which is kind of wearing on the voice itself. But that theatre that I worked at, which will rename nameless for legal reasons, had a restoration. And during that restoration, they took all the soundproofing away from the box office, all the protection for the staff that were working in the box office. So it was just an open plan box office. And you have a lot of streams of noise. You have theatre goers coming in, you have background music, you have a cafe, a full cafe going, and basically the phone ringing, people talking next to you. So it's a loud environment. And what kind of happened to me, that over basically a period of about 3 years, I had to overspeak to compensate for that noise. And even though the subject was brought up over and over again, everyone in that box office struggled with their voice. We brought it to health and safety. Basically, cut a long story short, nothing was done about it. And during that time, I was barely believed, Never mind them doing anything about it. It's their legal responsibility to staff. And I will point out at this stage that all of those people who were at the theatre at that time, who were responsible, have actually all left. Not directly because of that, but just because of life circumstances. And I basically had to take time off, because what happened was is that my voice reached a point where it didn't recover. So normal thing, say for example you go out, you have a loud night out in a club, your voice is really sore the next day, it recovers in a couple of days back to normal. What happened to mine is it didn't recover, and my voice became very weak, kind of husky, and I had a lot of pain. It's very raw. I became extremely exhausted through it, like, because literally your muscles are so sore.
There was a mental impact as well as physical.
It was, but there was a physical exhaustion, because it takes 27 muscles to work your vocal cords. Okay. Obviously, I know a lot about this now because I've been around it for a long time. And there was, what had happened was, is that all those muscles, it's called muscular tension dysphonia, and all those muscles come tight, they start to function in a wrong way, and basically everything becomes all messed up. So all the ways that you should be talking kind of go to pot, and suddenly you can't speak properly.
Hence you haven't been on radio very much.
Yeah, it's part of it, although I don't struggle when there's no background noise, although even now when I'm talking to you, my voice is raw. So yes, you don't know that, but it's sore inside. It just feels like it's my vocal cords are burning. That is the hidden nature of it. People sort of don't understand. It's very, very difficult to now me function against background noise, which actually you might say, well, why don't you keep out of noisy pubs? But you would be extraordinarily amazed, if it happened to you, how much background noise there is in everyday life. So I was in a busy town the other week, and I found it really difficult to talk to someone next to me walking along, because there is cars, buses,
even in coffee shops. Really noisy. And you think you go somewhere where you go to relax and meet friends, but everyone's trying to
So basically, you know, I am getting better. You know, I've had a lot of help. You know, I became very withdrawn, depressed. You know, it had sort of had a massive impact on my life. And I was just going to mention someone, and you're right, I will come on to the mental health side of things, because that's been pretty enormous as well. And it's made me reflective on a lot of things in my life, which we can talk about later. But I was working at Bath Literature Festival a couple of years ago. I came across an author called Bella Bathurst. I did her gig, and she talked about a situation in her life where she lost her hearing. And it was sort of something that just happened. So she was completely hearing person, and then she's quite young, and her hearing began to degenerate. And basically she said, you know, she was talking about she became more and more frustrated and withdrawn and depressed, because every time she'd go to a dinner party or anything like that, she just couldn't hear people, and people just sort of then kind of don't bother to speak to you because you can't hear. And so she just said in the end she gave up. And I spoke to her afterwards, and I say, yep, I know exactly what you mean, because I felt exactly the same with this.
So does that mean you gave up on socialisation?
Yeah, phone calls, socialising. Yeah, totally. I just, because it was too hard to explain to people what was wrong with me. And no, I'm sure that everybody with any kind of hidden disability feels the same. It's like, oh, God, you know, this is so boring to try and explain this. And because of the background of it, that it was caused by someone else or an organization, was very painful as well. So the emotional side of it was really, you know, difficult for me as well.
Did you, because you're openly a Christian and you're also gay, did you feel able to turn to the church for solace, or
I did speak to some people in church, And I think what always happens with lots of these things, they're supportive for a short time, and then it's just like forgotten about because they go, well, we can sort of hear you talking. And I cannot tell you the number of times I have had the sentence said to me by anybody say to me, but your voice sounds all right to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remarked to someone before this interview, if anyone else says that, I'm going to punch them in the face. It's kind of...
But it's like you decided that. You said that you're talking now, but it's painful.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And I can hear my own voice, that I know it's husky and not clear.
Yeah,
it is. You know?
Since we started, and we're about 10 minutes into an interview now, and you're starting to struggle.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And that's what's so difficult, because that's what people don't get. Mm. So just kind of reflecting on the Christian thing a bit and being gay and that kind of thing, the whole experience has been one of an enormous period of time of reflection, self-reflection. First of all, because I've had therapy. My doctor actually sort of said, you know, you probably need some therapy because this is a massive thing in your life. And actually, believe it or not, and anyone else that's been struggling, anyone listening to this that's ever struggled with anything vocal injuries are a particular source of psychological stress, and that is very well known to vocal therapists. So they know, wow, this person has got a lot of issues. And so what happens is that the psychological stress doesn't cause the vocal injury, but it certainly, if you've had stuff in your background, it feeds into it. So if you haven't had a voice, for example, you've been a bit voiceless, it will really feed into you having an injury. So if you think about it, something like this. If you phone me up and I say, oh, hi, Steph, how you doing? How's it going? Mm. And you answer me in a particular way, you go, yeah, I'm okay. Right. So I know immediately there's something wrong. So emotions very much sort of feed into the voice. Mm. And
well, from my perspective, being trans, I feel that I don't sound very female at all. And
I wouldn't think of that, but
what's even worse is that on broadcast equipment, in other words, telephones or broadcasting on the radio, your voice actually deepens to other people listening to your voice. That's even worse, because when I'm on the radio, everyone thinks, when I'm doing my drive show and that, everyone thinks, oh, that's a bloke on
there. Okay, you know? All right.
So I find that quite difficult to contend with.
Yeah, it's interesting, how emotions feed in. I mean, I think I did reflect on the fact that, being in the church is can be quite a voiceless experience if you're gay. I don't really talk about it too much, really, to the people that I'm around in church. I don't...
They don't ask, you don't tell.
No, kind of, but it's not that I'm hidden. It's just that...
It doesn't crop up.
Yeah, and also I think it's so sort of hetero-informed, you know, about family and stuff. I watched a really interesting documentary the other day. This is just going aside slightly, but it's called Believer. It's on BBC iPlayer. I recommend anyone to watch it. It's brilliant. It's actually about Mormonism and LGBTQ, and it is absolutely fantastic. And the best thing about it, the very best thing about it, is that it is a straight man. So it's the guy from Imagine Dragons, the band, campaigning for LGBTQ voices.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And it actually made me cry. So I was thinking, it means more to me that someone who's not gay at all, who's got no interest, has got something on his heart that says, I need to fight for these people.
Yeah.
And to me, that says more about God. Do you understand what I mean? And God's heart than anything else. I just think, that's really incredible. So, that's that.
But, okay. Thanks so much, Rose, for sharing.
It sounds all a bit doom and gloom, but I am getting better.
You're sat in the studio and you're talking.
We're getting better.
So that's a positive.
It's getting there. There we go.
Rose, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
You're going to say you hate that one, aren't you?
I absolutely hate that one. I'm not
going to
lie to you.
So, well, I won't tell you that I'm playing that for the husband then.
Oh.
He loves it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad someone does.
Yeah, he came running in the office saying, can you play that Marilyn Manson one? Because it's Halloween. It's the only time you can really play it. Because it is called This Is Halloween.
Yeah, but Halloween was yesterday.
Well, yes, but we had the discussion top of show.
I know. No, I don't mind it. I love some of Marilyn Manson.
I mean, Fireworks Day is the 5th of November. It doesn't stop people letting them off for a whole month though,
doesn't it? That is true. And it doesn't stop people like,
unless you're in the trade, in which case you do it all year round, don't you, Matthew?
Thank you. Yes, we do. Yes, legitimate purposes.
So didn't you say you got your first kind of like bonfire one tomorrow?
I have, yes. It's a local one as well in Bristol, so looking forward to that. Yeah, and they do have a bonfire if the wind is in the right direction, so
right,
we have to keep our fingers crossed for that. So, I don't do that bit, someone else does that.
You don't like the bonfire?
No, I'm fireworks through and through.
Cool. Anyway, hello, Terry.
Good evening, hello.
Shall we get some news headlines?
Of course you can. This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 1st of November.
Tributes have been pouring in online following the passing of Barry Thorne, a stalwart of Bristol's LGBT scene who died at the weekend. Mr. Thorne was known as Baz T and for many years hosted karaoke nights at the Queen Shilling. In the later noughties, he also managed the Griffin on Colston Street, restoring the bar to its standing as a popular gay venue with a reputation for excellent cuisine. He was described by one of his longtime friends as a scene legend who always approached life with an enormous sense of humour.
The internet and tech website Ars Technicana reports that internet relay chat has turned 30. First devised by a Finnish computer scientist in 1988, the IRC was a popular chat forum in the early days of the internet, and by the mid-1990s, as the net became mainstream for the first time and made inroads into people's houses, it was a means by which millions communicated. There was all humanity on show here, and despite the ever-present problems of trolling and hate groups, there was also much content for the LGBT communities, as people discussed politics, hooked up, and explored their identities with like-minded folks from across the globe. Within a few short years, IRC was essentially replaced by more sophisticated chat rooms and dedicated queer websites such as gay.com or the early Gaydar. However, its role in shaping gay and trans identities in the middle part of the 90s cannot be overstated.
The national classical music radio station Classic FM has dedicated a programme to the film career of Sir Ian McKellen. The popular gay actor came out live in a radio interview in 1988 and since then has been a tireless campaigner for LGBT civil rights, even helping to co-found the charity Stonewall in 1989. The Classic FM programme Saturday Night at the Movies looked back at Sir Ian's career on the big and small screen and played musical tracks from the productions he has been involved with.
Now, the British public is not nearly as stupid as some recent reports have suggested. So says the respected weekly journal The New Scientist. In an age of internet ranters and Trumpist fake news, the consensus amongst many LGBT commentators is that democracy is under siege, with demagogues and bigots manipulating a stupid population. But this is reputed by The New Scientist survey, an extensive sampling of how people engage with science and rational issues. The survey found that many British people are intelligent and able to discuss with a level of unexpected precision political and scientific issues, including genetic engineering, biomedicine, and climate change. But this survey will give comfort to many LGBT people because an inquiring and rational mind is statistically often linked with a greater tolerance of all minorities.
The collapse of the German gay publishing house Bruno Gmunder earlier in the year threatened to bring an end to a long tradition of gay male publishing, including a famous range of calendars for gay guys. However, a new printer and distributor has been secured, and a whole range of titles is now available from queer bookstores up and down the country.
The BBC, Points West and Bristol Evening Post have been amongst those reporting that a 27-year-old man from Inns Court in Bristol has been sentenced to 18 months imprisonment for an unprovoked and vicious homophobic assault on a young gay teenager on a bus in the city. The perpetrator was found guilty by magistrates in Bristol on Tuesday. The young man who was assaulted, Mr. Kiddis Zellinger, still bears physical and emotional scars as a result of the attack, which took place on the 76 bus to the Hartcliffe area of the city. However, Mr. Zellinger has spoken out in video messages to the media on his hope that the custodial sentence will impress on all homophobes the need to reconsider their actions and also to raise awareness of hate crime against all groups in the area.
The LGBT Conservative Network has welcomed the selection of Sean Bailey as the Tory party's candidate for the London mayoral election, scheduled to take place in May 2020. Mr. Bailey is a black Londoner and the son of Generation Windrush immigrants. In his statement, Mr. Bailey said that the current Labour mayor, Sadiq Khan, had failed the capital commercially and in terms of coping with knife crime. He said that he would build a safe, multicultural society that would be the pride of the UK.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Matthew Tosh
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
One absolute tune. Loved it.
You are such a liar.
Literally been bopping for that, like the whole song. Wow, Andy, you outdid yourself.
That's a Nightmare by Brainbug, which those of you my age remember was a huge club hit back when it came out.
So.
I do remember it now, yeah.
Yeah. If you were my age, you would have loved it.
Well, I'm glad I'm not then.
Oh, dear.
You do make me feel so old when
I'm glad.
With you.
I'm glad you do. So young and naive is what you said, and I'm glad I'm young. But yeah, no. Sure that was a total banger.
I'd say it was, yeah. I mean, 90s noughties club music, it was quite... Well, 90s certainly was a real turnaround in music. When you compare the 90s to the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
The 80s was when electronic stuff just kind of hit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas by the 90s, it was kind of a bit more...
Full flow.
Yeah, you could do things with computers, like reproduce a whole orchestra.
Sequencers and all that kind of stuff came in. People making records in their bedrooms.
We had hits like music.
We had hits like Robert Miles' Children was a massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
One of the biggest hits ever in the 90s.
Yeah, about 96,
Somewhere around there. Yeah. In fact, I think it's just slightly before that. So, it saved lots of lives, that track.
Sorry?
It saved lots of lives.
I remember you telling me, actually, about that.
Yeah. It was
for the wind down of clubs, wasn't it?
I forget which country it was that Robert Miles came from, but basically they were into like real hard house, like fast paced, almost like rave music.
Yeah.
And people were leaving the club still on this massive great high, putting their foot down in the car and killing themselves. So he wrote the track as a bring you back down to earth, think about things track. And it went on to become an international hit. Yeah. It was one of the highest selling records in the 90s.
Oh, so. Look at that. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Have you not? Never heard of
it? It came out a year after I was born, so no. Can't say I was bopping to that as a little baby, to be honest.
Anyway, Tara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
We're supposed to be talking about a series called Butterfly in this next segment, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I won't lie. Don't have enough time to watch TV the best of times anyway. But I don't know much about it. I just know that it's a series about... Is it trans issues?
It's about a young trans girl. Yeah, whose parents had just separated because of their trans issues, and they were trying to live a life that suited their dad. And when they went to secondary school, basically the life fell apart because actually they couldn't lie to themselves anymore. Yeah, so the story is about that.
Is it a true story or is it?
It's an amalgamation of different people's stories.
Oh, right.
So they went to talk to mermaids.
And for those who don't know what Mermaids is,
it's a charity that helps families of young trans kids.
Cool.
So it's up to age of, I think, 18 or 24. I can't remember. They kind of change the age range.
Right. I think we've had them on the show.
Yeah. So and they're national organization. Yeah, they're there for everyone. So and they were quite instrumental in helping develop the show itself. So it's a mini series. It's currently on ITV Hub, so you can back watch it for the next 26 days. Yeah, so you've not missed it. It's
no,
not too late.
You can still get involved, Andy.
Yeah, and it's a mini series, and it just covers that early aspect of getting to the point where people, the family, recognize that they've got a daughter. Yeah, and so the whole thing's about the trials and tribulations of the mother who's standing up for her daughter and kind of standing there and saying, "I realise if I'd rather have an alive daughter than a dead son." Yeah, and that kind of sums it up, you know, her aspirations. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. I was talking to some therapy friends today, and I was asked them if they'd watched it, and they said no because of they were concerned about the self-harm aspects and the suicidal attempts that are covered in the actual storyline.
They go that in depth to them.
Yeah.
Isn't that important though?
I think it's really important. Yeah. And it wasn't just, and so the self-harm wasn't just them. It was actually, that was the way they communicated with somebody else who was self-harming in that school. So, you know, it's kind of it's really here and now. It's really gritty.
So it's true to form, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. So there was a scene where they went into the bathroom and self-harmed their genitals.
Right. Mm.
So it's that kind of...
It is that
gritty.
Kind of,
and I guess the challenge there is for people that maybe don't realise what gender dysphoria is, how extreme it can get for people to actually really understand what that is. I guess that's the
hardest. Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening, isn't it? Because you don't think it's brutal, basically.
Absolutely. And I think what I found was when I went and looked at the hashtags and looked at some of the feedback in some of the papers and all the rest of it, actually, there was a kind of I thought some of the love that was coming out to people that actually have got no experience in this, and they've almost bought into this story, you know, and they want to know what goes beyond this first three episodes. They want to have a series two. And that, to me, is the kind of...
There's only three episodes.
Yeah, it's only three episodes. And it's only up to the point where they get hormone blockers.
Ah,
so
okay.
There's a story about... So, mum and dad are separated.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Dad,
sorry, should we be doing that? Yeah. I just thought about that, actually.
No, it's essential it's right from day one. Yes, that's where they start. Dad can't cope. Mum's having to deal with it. So there's the whole family dynamics. There's the older generation of grandparents who can't cope with it. They've got a grandmother who is absolutely vile, to be honest. And so I watched with one of my trans friends, and they couldn't cope watching it. It was just too emotional for them.
Right.
Yeah.
So prepare yourselves, but prepare to be wild.
I think
as well.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So it should be mandatory watching, to be honest.
Definitely.
For any parents. And I think there's a reality there for any parents that actually they're, you know, anyone could end up with this in their family, you know. And the bit I took away from it was it showed just how little counselling availability there is to families. So it's not just, you know, it's interesting to watch Max dealing with their own emotions and know who they are and trying to fight for that. It was the family that were behind the ball on it, and they were ones that probably needed more therapy than Max at some stages in that journey. And
both equally needing therapy, but for different reasons.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Different amounts,
So there's that coming to terms with the loss of their son, really, and the gaining of a daughter, and that whole kind of idea that you've lost, you know, you've lost all that future.
Yeah, because parents imagine kids' future, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So, especially when it's different to what they initially thought it would be. They reject it initially, I'm guessing. So.
Yeah, exactly. So they wanted, you know, a son going to carry the family name, going to have kids. Yeah. All that kind of goes out the, you know. So,
And well done, ITV, for putting it. Because I think sometimes we criticise, ITV gets criticised for being sort of quite a downmarket channel, but in actual fact, they have a tradition of some really good, hard-hitting social commentary drama, and butterflies in that tradition.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And they put a lot of effort into the research.
Yeah.
So they should, but yeah.
No, absolutely. But it was, yeah, it wasn't that off the cuff, fly in the wall. It was hard hitting, gritty. Mm. You know, it's based in Manchester, so it's not even a southern kind, softy kind of thing. You know, it's really.
Oh, you calling it softy? Tara wants to start something.
Just because you're from Scotland, you know.
I mean.
I keep thinking a Glasgow dead is southern, you know. But it's that whole thing, and I guess as someone that's, you know, I'm the older generation. I couldn't imagine being able to have that space when I was a child. So I had to go. I did the hiding process. So there's a kind of, yeah. And I'm kind of hoping that some people are able from just watching it to realise that that's them, and actually it's okay to be themselves.
Mm. Yeah, so, no, sounds amazing.
Can I ask you? Did your parents struggle to find information out about you being trans?
I collated a lot of information because, of course, I was an adult by the time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so. Although they did discover me when I was 13, and we had a long conversation, which was...
Didn't imagine how that went.
Well, threatening to be taken to doctors to get sorted out wasn't exactly the conversation you want. But then when I did transition, my dad turned around and said, oh, we always kind of knew you were different from the age of about 3. Yeah.
So they knew, but they just
they
didn't
kind of knew, but they want to know it.
Yeah,
you know, because actually, there's that social stigma, and that's covered in this. If you watch it as well, that whole idea, you know, and a lot of it's filmed at secondary school level, and just
that's
the
sheer, such a brutal age.
The sheer, yeah, pain of that environment.
You know, hopefully becoming more and more accepting as time goes on, but definitely, I think this should be mandatory watching for everyone that wants to understand trans rights.
And I think it's getting trans is becoming something. It's becoming less and less acceptable to poke fun at trans. Mm. It's catching up with.
Yeah, I mean, and I know we laugh and joke about our age and the like, but school is definitely getting better. I mean when
some
I compare
schools
it to,
are definitely getting better,
yeah,
yes.
But when I know it because we had a group of kids on, and I remember when I was at school, it was illegal to even mention it. I mean, Section 28 was well enforced, which Margaret Thatcher brought in. You just were not allowed to mention homosexuality in schools, let alone anything else. Mm-hmm. So there was no education around it at all, and bullying was rife. And when we interviewed these kids, I'm going back 4 or 5 years, they were secondary school age, and they were complaining, saying they only teach LGBTQII, they don't do mine, which is pan, and they don't do this. And I'm thinking, well, that's an awful lot better than it was when I was
I mean
at
it's
school,
still better so. Than how I was. I mean, I know mine was still moved on, but we couldn't sing Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl
because it was
like promoting, like, obviously queer energy, so I don't know best way I could have put it, but so yeah, even when I went to school, it wasn't that accepted. Girls still poked fun at other girls if they were into girls, so it wasn't that accepting when I went to school either.
Yeah,
so I think it's still changing.
I think it comes down to the senior staff of the school and how willing they are to encourage diversity and allow it to be free and open and
which
honest.
Is why they should be watch things like Butterflies, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It should be mandatory on the school curriculum. Yeah,
or something like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Good and there's staff, lots of different things to watch. You know, there's you know, and I guess it's, you know, just the same as being gay.
It's education, isn't it? I mean, the more you educate yourself, the more you know, the more informed decisions you can make. Yeah, as
like
opposed
the news
to
was saying, wasn't it? It was saying that, you know, an educated society
is more tolerant of whatever it happens to be, and that is gender, sexuality, race, anything. Yeah.
You know, and I hope that's true.
And I think what I discovered from reading was that some of the papers, of course, you get the trolls are talking about this programme, and they're being absolutely horrendous. How can a child understand what they are at the age of 13? What's this about? You know, but it was true enough to show that hormone blockers is all a child can achieve, which just delays, gives them space to find themselves.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. It's not the dramatic thing they think it's going to be. It's not surgery. It's not anything like that. No. It's generally just
cut off surgery
blockers.
Until you're 18.
Exactly. So the fact that they think it's a complete change is just not true.
Yeah, it gives people space to be themselves and figure out who they are. And I think that's all we can hope for.
So now, speaking of which, because we had the big kind of government consultation, and Stonewall had it on their website as well recently, didn't
that's
we?
Closed,
over,
right?
Yeah, which is closed. Do we know when we find out?
Don't know.
Any results from it at all?
Don't know.
hopefully
knowing the government, it'll take a while.
Yeah, knowing the government.
This is not a
years.
Consultation, isn't it? It's a consultation paper. So, I mean, it's not like a voting system.
No.
You're not voting for it or not for it. It's just like, yeah.
It's just like suggestions, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, suggestions and feedback, essentially. Yeah.
You know, yeah, to get us in line with some other European countries.
It's just the more people that did it, the better it was. I think that's why people were campaigning for people to, like, talk about it and things like that.
Yeah, the more voices.
Yeah, exactly. The more voices that are with us than against us, the better it'll be.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah. So you can get it on ITV Hub?
ITV Hub. And you have to log in to get on it if you've not been on it before.
Oh, yes, to do that. Channel 4 does that as well,
yeah,
doesn't it?
And you can get on your Amazon Stick and all the rest of it. It's
your Amazon Stick.
Yeah. Or ITV or my Virgin Box. They're all on there. Or you can get it through your tablet or your phone or whatever.
And no sign of a series 2 yet, but we're hopeful.
Well, there's people asking for it, and I think that's quite a hopeful sign.
Yeah. They certainly left it open enough.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. It feels like the beginning of something, not the end.
Mm. Yeah. Well, have you watched it?
Watched a bit of it, but I haven't seen all of it, so I'll have to catch up.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of LGBT shows out now, isn't there? There's the bisexual on Channel 4, which is amazing.
That's something is that on tonight, I think, actually?
I mean, I've been watching it. So you can get it on Channel 4, the hub, 4AD. And it's just, I don't know, I get it. So it's so rare to see a transition between lesbian to bisexual, because obviously everyone thinks it's bisexual to lesbian. Mm. But it's not. Like, and it explains a lot of the things that you felt growing up, or you feel identifying as gay but not quite being as gay as people think you are, so or you say you are. So yeah, no, I definitely recommend that as well if people are struggling or trying to understand their bisexuality.
I'd still just like to see more LGBT plus characters in things on TV.
Yeah.
You know,
not as a token, just
as a normal character, you know, and not make a big deal of it. It's just there and part of it.
They do tend to be quite a bit good for that, weren't they?
Yeah,
I think they still are, actually. Don't they have lots of LGBT characters.
Anyway, that's it for this Halloween edition, but do join us again next week.
In the meantime, though, check us out at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, Hijra. I think that's how you say it.
I hope so.
So, but for myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.